Hello, this is the Angry GM, and this is the supplemental Q&A following the proofread aloud of my latest feature, To Session Zero or Not To Session Zero. I have a group of people here in the studio audience here at Angry Games headquarters on the Discord, and Procillus is telling me I have 28 minutes, and I have no questions to answer, but at least Lord Rutabaga is typing, and as has been my practice, I am going to pause the recording when I don't have anything to say. Ice Bear is asking, what inspired you to go from your first trio of articles to this one? So that's an interesting question, and I'm not entirely sure how to answer that, except when I began this series, I did actually outline what steps I felt or what topics needed to be covered in a true campaign managery course. As I did with True Game Mastery, I started with an outline and actually planned out what topics I wanted to cover and then jumbled them around and mushed them together and separated them out and then tried to put them in some kind of logical order. So Session Zero is something that it comes before you start running the game. So naturally, it's one of the earliest things you have to discuss. But number two, because the concept of a game or group first campaign exists, where you might actually need to have a session zero just to develop a campaign vision, I had to establish it. It's something that I had to discuss right away. It also did recently come up in the Discord, so I figured now was as good a time as any. And I think I did end up moving it a little bit. And also, I do keep kind of expanding topics a little. So originally, I wasn't planning to do a session on lesson on how to host a meeting. But then I realized that basic meeting management skills are probably something that game masters could benefit from anyway, and they fit perfectly into true campaign managery. So the idea of before you try to host a legit game session, you want to try and host a meeting with your players, especially if you're meeting players for the first time. In fact, as I come to think about it now, two of those three reasons, actually all three of the reasons that I cited, all have to come before or in the midst of you ironing out the issues that will let you even start developing a campaign vision. Okay, like if you have strangers that you've never gamed with, you absolutely want to have a session zero before, as early as you can, before you even try to put too much work into the campaign. Because if you find out that people can't even talk to each other and they all hate one another, you want to abort. And if there's issues and fights about the clubhouse rules, you need to get that ironed out before you go any further and stuff. So throwing this as early as possible in the pile seemed good. I can't keep stretching this answer out. Guy, Quail, and Boro, I really need you to finish typing and get some questions out. So I'm going to pause now. Guy Quail is asking, when you run a one-shot for strangers where a whole session zero isn't realistic, what can you do instead? Nothing. I mean, you don't run a session, okay. So hypothetically, if you wanted to start a campaign for strangers, the best way to do it would be to run a one-shot first. And your one-shot then it fills the role of the session zero. It gets the players used to taking orders from you. It gets the players used to working together as a team. It discovers any, personal issues, all of that stuff, and just establishes the social dynamic. So the point is that a one-shot game for strangers is how you lead into a campaign. If you're running a one-shot game that is just strictly going to be a one-shot, you just do it. I mean, worst case scenario, if the group doesn't work, then you're stuck with them for two or three sessions tops, right? I mean, that's it. Lord Rutabaga, What is a good way to summarize a GMing style if it comes up in session zero when someone is considering joining your group? Like when the players ask, what kind of GMing do you do? I always feel like I ramble when I try to do it, tell people all the wrong things. Okay, right here. Now, here is the funny thing. Okay, if you don't know how to answer a question someone asks, then you have not understood the question. And this is not a you problem. This is an everybody problem, but especially an every game master problem. If someone says to me, you know, what is your GMing style, or what, you know, how do you run your games, or whatever, you say, well, I don't really know that I can summarize my style. Can you ask about some specific things? What sort of information do you want from me? And see what they tell you. Beyond that, though, like I don't really think it's like, okay, here's the deal. As a game master, you don't want to fall in the trap of trying to assess the player's style or fit the players into little thingies or whatever. And I'll talk about that next time. I don't care what my players' play styles are or care what their engagements are. I am past that now. A true campaign manager and a true game master doesn't need to care about that shit. Okay. Your players should not care what kind of game master you are. Instead, they should play a couple of games with you and then find out that you are not the game master for them. That's the proper way to do things, okay? I know people are like, oh my gosh, what happened? Then I have wasted three whole sessions playing a game and that I'm not going to continue. It's like, yep, that's life. It kind of sucks. So players shouldn't be doing that, and you certainly shouldn't be doing that. Unless something obvious leaps out about a player, like if the player smells bad or punches you in the throat or immediately starts cursing out the other players or does something that you could say like serious, like I cannot be in this person's presence for five more minutes, then obviously that's a no. But other than that, you let them in. And players should be giving you the same credit. The problem is players aren't as smart as game masters, and game masters aren't smart until they've read my advice. So even though you know that they should not even be asking that question. The only way, because there is no way to tell someone your style. And anything you say about your style is they are looking for specific information to decide whether or not to sit at your game. And that's going to be more on them than on you. Okay, I know that sounds crazy, but that's the reason to ask the question, like so how would you describe your GMing style? There's two reasons to ask that question. Number one is because the player doesn't even know what to ask and feels like they have to ask something. It's like the whole, at the job interview, they ask, well, do you have any questions for me? And nobody ever knows what to ask of the interviewer. So they all just sort of blurt out whatever question crosses their mind. Or the second reason is they have something in particular in mind. They are looking for, they're looking for a red flag. They're looking because they've had a bad experience. They're looking because they've already made an assumption about you. They're looking for something. Okay. So asking them to clarify the question gives them a chance to then bring up the issue. Because I guarantee you, if you say, well, you know, I don't think I can, you know, anyone can really summarize their GMing style in a couple of sentences, I think, you know. So if there's any specific information you want, is there anything specific I can ask you, answer for you? You know, what would you like to know about me? And then they say, oh, well, you know, how long have you been gaming or whatever? Then, you know, they're just asking questions to ask questions. Whereas if they say something specific, like, well, in this previous game, my game master wouldn't let me write a 20-page backstory, you know, how do you feel about that? And I would be like, your previous game master is right. You're not going to like me. Because it's better, like if there's going to be an issue, it's just better that you get it out there. But it's also important to remember that to some extent, if the players are deciding whether to play at your game or not, you are selling yourself. You're on a first date. So you do want to give your, like, you don't want to lie and you don't want to mislead people and trick them into thinking they'll like your game, even if they don't. Like, if it's very clear that what they want from your game, from the game master, is not something you want to give, then you just don't want to go forward with that anyway. But you do want to do a little bit of salesmanship. So, you know, you try to sell your style. Like, if they can't clarify, then try to talk about what you consider to be your biggest strengths as a game master. Like, I might talk about how I develop a very richly detailed world where everything you try to interact with one way or another, it seems to have a backstory, and that there's always stuff going on in the world beyond the characters. So that if you will experience all this stuff as you travel through the world, you'll get the sense that things are really going on around you. I might say that, especially if the players had already been saying things about how, you know, they really get absorbed in exploring the world or shit like that. Or, you know, if the players were already talking about, you know, how much they really like to explore dungeons, you'd say, something I would say is, well, I'm a master of dungeon design. Well, I wouldn't say it like that, not to new player. I might. It depends on how the thing is going. But I might say something like, well, you know, I pride myself on my scenario design. I know how to put together a really solid dungeon, and it's one of my favorite ways to build a game. So there's that too, where try to find what you consider to be one or two of your strongest points, tailor them to the players, and give them that. But first, ask them to clarify. Let them call out what it is that they are looking for, okay? If you ever find yourself not knowing how to answer a question or not knowing what you're going to say, you need to reflect what you've heard and then ask clarifying questions because you haven't understood it. And that's true whether it's a question about your game mastering style or whether a player takes an action or anything else. Okay, borrow. What was easier, coming up with reasons why it's good to run a session zero or with reasons why it's not? That's nonsensical, because the fact is there are only three reasons to want a session zero. So anything, like, it's easy to come up with those three reasons. All I did was start with the assumption that running a session zero is absolutely always a waste of time, and if I could get everybody around the table at the same time, then they absolutely should not run a session zero. Wait, I screwed that up. I got distracted in the middle of my own sentence. Partly because Burrow popped up another question. But anyway, okay. And I was reading that, so I did a thing I shouldn't do. Anyway, I started with the assumption that running a session zero is always a mistake, that it's always a waste of time. If I have my players in the same space as me, there is no good reason to run anything other than a game for them, because we're there to game. So, in what situations would I be willing to sacrifice game time in a way that would actually improve my game? That's the list I came up with. Then anything that is not on that list is a bad idea. Now, that said, next time I am going to discuss two specific bad ideas, one that everybody but me thinks is a good idea, and one that I have personally in the past said was a good idea, and explain why they're not good enough reasons to run a session zero. But that's going to be just a more sort of informal rambling around. Borrow, because one question isn't enough for Borrow, then goes on to ask, what is one or a few things that many game masters don't pay attention to, but they really should be from your experience? This is much more of a general question, and it would be much more suited to a live chat Q&A, but what the hell, nobody else is asking questions, and I probably still got a few minutes, I don't know. So I am going to focus only on things that are specific to the articles I'm writing right now, and one of the things I'm going to just call back to is that most game masters are very bad listeners, because most people are very bad listeners. Okay. For example, one of the things that, you know, there's been a lot of research into active listening and passive listening, how people listen and what's going on in their head when people are talking and stuff. And one of the things that many people will do, and if you start to pay attention, you will catch yourself doing it, is while someone is talking about halfway through what they're saying, you will start figuring out what you're going to say next. You know, like they'll be blah, they'll be saying yada, yada, yada. And, you know, like, oh yeah, you know, I, you know, some of my favorite video games include Skyrim, you know, because you're talking about favorite games or whatever. And as soon as they say Skyrim, it suddenly occurs to you that one of the things you like about Skyrim that also works, you know, that you've tried to incorporate it as a game master is, I don't know, running an open world. I don't know, just some random bullshit. So now all of a sudden you think, okay, when they stop talking, I'm going to say, oh yeah, you know, I like Skyrim too. And one of the things I like most is the open world. And I try to incorporate that into my game mastering because you've caught something in there and now you can advertise yourself. But you also suddenly discover you didn't listen to the rest of what that person said. You checked out because you're more focused on your next statement than what they're currently saying. And if you do that, you miss a lot and you are actually a very, very bad listener. Many game masters do that. Many game masters are also so like fixated on juggling notes and shuffling papers and stuff that they're not listening to 100% of everything that is being said at the table. Like, oh, the players are just talking about their plans right now. I can sit here and shuffle my monster stats so I'm ready for the next encounter or whatever. And you're now not really listening. And as a game master, you should listen to every word that comes out of a player's mouth, even if you are not involved in the scene and it's just the players talking amongst themselves. And you absolutely have to learn not to shut off halfway through and say, okay, I've heard enough. Now I need to think about what I'm going to say next. How's that for an answer that is topical? Because it will come up in two lessons, not next lesson, but the lesson after. Ice Bear, when's the last time you ran an angry approved session? Zero. How about, honestly, this is the thing. I actually elected not to run a session zero that I otherwise would have. Like in the past me would have like run a session zero. It's like, oh, I need a session zero for this because you always have to have a session zero and I need to gather information from my players and all this shit. And instead, I'm just like, you know what? I don't need to do this. I know how to run a game, and yeah, I don't know what these people's particular preferences are or whatever, but I'm going to just go ahead and, you know, assume that I can put together a good game and, you know, adapt on the fly, which is part of what I'm going to discuss in my next office hours thing. Hey, Proselus, where am I for time, by the way? My clock is suggesting I have about 6 minutes. Guy Quail, you should keep typing. Don't stop typing because, oh, 9 minutes. Because if I have one last question, I will answer it. If I have no last questions when I'm asking about the time, then I will be like, well, that's enough. Now Guy Quail started typing again. You guys are bad at this. I have till 2 after the hour. What is this, public radio? And then we'll have Angry on until 2 after the hour, followed by the weather. Oh, I guess that's, yeah. Okay, and with the last question, because it's like a friggin' paragraph long, Guy Quail wants to know, do you ever go over your curated character generation approach and limits on races and source books from the beginning in Sesh Zero or prior? I've had a group where it was hard stop to not or on not being able to write out elaborate backstories and pick a particular race, and I felt I strung them along for a while by saying, we will get to the backstory part. For now, I want you to focus on the other parts of your two characters. Okay. Yeah, you stopped asking a question and decided to tell me about your personal history and experiences with the question. You people need to learn, I don't care about your personal history and experiences with the question and why you're asking the question. I don't give a shit. Just ask me the question. Do I go over the curated? I go over that during character generation. I tell people how they're going to generate characters. If someone asks me beforehand, then I will go over it then. But in general, you know, unless I'm doing something really crazy, like if I'm really fucking with the rules of character generation in some way, I will tell people flat out, dad. You know, if I'm doing something crazy with character generation, that is part of the premise of the campaign. I will tell people right up front. It's like, when I run this campaign, we're doing it with random character generation. You're going to roll randomly. You're going to take whatever you get. And we're going to start playing right then and there. So you're not even going to have time to invent a backstory, because it's going to be like, you're going to generate the character and then you're going to have to start playing them 5 minutes later, which is basically what I did with my AD&D second edition game. And I didn't have to tell them that, except I did. I didn't have to tell them that because that's how AD&D second edition is supposed to work. But I did anyway, because they hadn't played old school games like that, or some of them not ever, and some of them before now they hadn't played old school games like that, and some of them not for a long time. So I made that clear up front. But otherwise, if I'm not doing anything too crazy, if character generation is pretty much by the book, which, by the way, I do most of the time. Guy Quayle is assuming that I'm using curated character generation and limits on source books. Like, I do say right up front, like, where sources are. And most of the time I will say something like, oh, and this is core only. So if you can't find something in the core rulebook you want to play, you're not going to enjoy my game. So then again, if somebody considers it a hard stop that I don't let them to write 30 pages of backstory, then it's best that we discover that and they leave, you know? So, you know, but see, this is the thing, and this is the problem that lots of game masters have too. We'll add this to the list of things that get overlooked, and I'm going to finish rambling this, and then I'm going to call this Q&A done. Okay, this is another thing that game masters need to learn how to do. They need to learn how to give brief, general information, and then deliver more information later as needed. Okay, I absolutely, at the start of the game, do not need to spell out literally every race and class that will be available. But if I am putting restrictions on it and feel the players should know that, and they should, especially if I've never run games for them before, and they're playing 5th edition D&D, they're going to assume that they can be cat people and turtle people and all that bullshit, then I am at least going to say right up front, when we generate characters, there will be a restricted race list of races and classes to choose from. And should you choose a specific race, you will be expected to portray a member of that race as it is described in the book. And that is all I need to say, okay? So that people know that restriction is right out there. Or if it's going to be, look, my personal style is that you start at the beginning of your interesting life. You don't have a backstory that is interesting. Your backstory is, one day I decided to set out on this adventure, or whatever the premise of the campaign is. And I'll talk about a lot of this in my character generation article, because you never ever ask anyone to generate a character without the premise of the game. But anyway, so yes, I give brief information right from the get-go if I think it will affect the characters, you know, the player's choices. If I'm going to restrict the player's choices, I warn them their choices will be restricted. And then if somebody wants to get panicky and say, well, will you allow turtles? I'll say no. And they'll be, oh, well, what about, I will say, look, it's core only. I will say something in the briefest way possible, but I will make it clear that there are restrictions. And then if they absolutely need to know, but honestly, if we're going to play 20 questions where it's like, you know, I need to know if there's going to be this specific race I like because I like nothing in the player's handbook, then it'll come down to that. It's like, after the person asks me, will you let this, will you let this, will you let this? And I say no 3 times, I'm going to say, look, it's going to be mostly player's handbook races, and I'm probably going to remove gnomes and, like, half-orcs or half-elves or half-everything. So if you can't find something, like, I don't know for sure what I'm going to keep and what I'm going to remove, but I know I'm not going to add anything from any bullshit supplement. So, and if it has fur, it's not allowed. So that has been the supplemental Q&A portion. I hope that was helpful. I hope this has been fun. It's actually been nice to get back on board with this. So yeah, So in a few days, there will be another live proofread aloud, or another proofread aloud. Again, I will try to, yeah, whatever. I don't know what I'm saying, especially because Boro just tried to make a joke comment, and I get distracted when comments pop up. So I'm not good at streaming or live thinging or whatever. Anyway, bye.